Hariyam. In this interview, I speak with Greg, who is in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Greg has been practicing the 12 Steps program, Narcotics Anonymous, for nearly 40 years and has been clean and sober for most of this time. Greg shares his experience as life as an addict and how the 12 Step fellowships, yoga, and meditation have had a positive impact, allowing him to find freedom from addiction. So, Greg, thank you so much for being here with us today. Can you begin by telling us a bit about you and your history?
I first started using drugs when I was a kid, and I enjoyed the effect of it.
Yeah.
It changed. I was quite shy and introverted, so it changed how I felt about that. And then I just progressed from there. So, what I discovered today is that I have this disease of addiction, which I addressed with the 12 steps of recovery of Narcotics Anonymous. And so it was a long, hard journey of addiction where I started on alcohol, and then the pot came along, and then there was other drugs as well. You know, I got into trouble early for the alcohol, you know, drunkenness, jails, car licenses, you know, drunk driving, even before I was old enough to drive a car, you know, like, so all that sort of stuff come along. And then at the age of about 21, I found recovery in a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened then was the nature, as I see today, the nature of the disease is a lot of denial. So I had trouble stopping.
Mm-hmm.
They offered me a solution, but it was, the want to use and want to change my thoughts with substance was really strong, so I battled really hard with it. So it just went along, and then eventually I surrendered and started working the steps in Narcotics Anonymous, where, you know, I was powerless is the first step, powerless, unmanageable. I sort of had that acceptance, you know, that I kept doing the same stuff and getting different results. So, you know, like my using just got worse. My mental state got worse, you know. So what happened then was I just sort of, I knew I couldn't never use, you know, like, and think it was going to change. So I, what did I do then? Yeah, I started working the steps. And you know, and it, part of it is like a powerless, unmanageable, the insanity of repeating the same stuff. And then the third step was handing my will over to a power greater myself, which I didn't really have a clue about, you know. So from there, and then the next one's about, you know, taking inventory of myself and my past and sort of trying to clean up the mess that I had made, you know, which was a lot. So
yeah. So to go back, with that, you found that you were doing the same thing again and again. They talk about like finding a rock bottom, so to speak. Do you think that you have to get to that point before you finally surrender?
There was an emotional rock bottom for me. There was not a physical. Physically, I was still quite capable of doing, but there was this emotional stuff where my spirit was just stuffed, you know. So, there is. I had to find that place, you know, which I'd found many times, but at this point, I just sort of, I had enough, you know, and I was willing to do what these people spoke about in the rooms, you know. So,
because it is, when you're in an addiction or even a pattern of thinking, it's so much easier just to keep doing it. And that breaking that cycle is the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, like, there's no rationale in using, you know, you just think that the drug's a solution, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't see it as a problem.
Yeah. And do you think you were searching for a high? Like, you wanted to be, like you said earlier, that shyness and when you were growing up, like the alcohol or the drug was trying to like keep you from feeling that, or?
Well it enhanced the feelings, you know, like where I was shy, you know, I had the drink, I was outgoing and introverted to extroverted, you know, so, which alcohol does, you know, but then there's that alcohol is a depressant. So what happens is that afterwards, a while, you know, I got depressed again, so I have to have more. And that's just how it works, you know. It just keeps going like that in that cycle, you know, using and not using.
Wanting more and more and more, and it not being enough.
Yeah, and trying to stop and not being able to, using against your will, you know, like making a decision not to use and then having to pick up and use, you know, with, and you go, how do I get here again? How did, you know, how did this happen, you know, without the mind just sort of goes blank and off you go, you know. So.
And then I guess you get into that whole guilt and depression and
shame.
Shame, yeah.
For your actions, you know, the stuff, you know, I was doing was, you know, like I had a family and I was spending the money on drugs and not the kids, you know, they were going without and I couldn't stop it, you know. It just, and of course my marriage ended because of that behaviour, you know. And,
yeah.
And then the crossover, you know, like the wanting to be a good father but not being able to, you know, because the drugs come first all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Even though you knew that was wrong, they still come first because of the manipulation of my thinking, you know.
So hard, yeah. Okay, so you found the 12-step program, and like you were saying, the first step, powerless over your addiction, and for you that was alcohol and drugs, yep. And then finding a power greater than yourself, how did you dapple with that concept? Like, firstly, in the 12 steps they speak about God, I think in 7 of the steps or something, and it's like, what was that for you?
Well, at the start, I had a friend who was I used drugs with.
Mm-hmm.
We used heroin together, and he became a Baptist minister.
Yeah.
So I went and he disappeared for a while and come back, and he was big clean. And so I started talking to him about it, you know, and he was a Jesus stuff, and just, I don't know, I just couldn't quite get it, you know. Yeah. But I could see eventually, you know, as I detoxed, you know, as my mind cleared from the fog of addiction, I could see that, you know, it was all about having faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started to have faith in something I really didn't understand, but I had faith that I've seen other people, I witnessed other people believing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was, the fellowship had those slogans, you know, just, you know, if, I can't think of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I just started to believe, you know, and have faith and trust that the process would work if I did that. So I sort of just got a understanding of, maybe you've got to don't understand. So,
power greater than yourself.
Yeah, that's it, you know. Yeah. That, you know, if karma stuff, if I do something wrong, it's going to block in the bum, you know. So.
No, I think that's, in a way, it's kind of a yogic look at something too. You don't have to believe in a religion. It's not like yoga's Hinduism. It's that whole, just whatever it is that connects you to your higher self or your truth.
So having that belief really helped, you know, and that sort of thing. And then continue, you know, it one of the steps is to admit yourself, your faults to your God, yourself, and another human being, you know. And it's that purging stuff, telling someone, getting it out from inside, you know, because I just believe that inside it does the damage, you know. So that verbal communication, it was so helpful, you know. It's just sort of, it was really hard to do.
Yeah.
But I walked away feeling really courageous that I was able to share those deep, dark secrets of my past, which was pretty bad, you know. So, and then, and the freedom from it, you know, like, from that stuff. And then the next step is starting to heal the wrongs I had done, you know, like asking having that faith that my God would remove the stuff that, the defects of character that keep me crooked and keep me thinking the way I was thinking.
Yeah. It comes back to that idea that we're as sick as our secrets.
That's it.
And by being able to share it with another and not be berated or not be told, you know, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So much acceptance. I think when another person accepts us, the love and acceptance for ourselves, and I've really found with addiction, there's so much hatred that goes with it.
Yeah, self-hatred.
That's it.
Because of the action, the dislike of self is just amazing. You know? Mm. So, and we're not those, you know, we're not our actions. We are our spirit. You know? So,
that's it.
Yeah, so that's... So, you know, I did that, started to make amends to the people I've harmed, you know, and then it says continue to take imagery, and then it says, you know, thought through
prayer
and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God.
As we understand
it. As we understand
it,
yeah.
And I think with that prayer and meditation, it was explained to me that prayer is talking to our higher power, and meditation is listening. So you started doing the 12 steps and recovering from the addiction. Did you begin a practice of yoga or meditation from there?
I was fairly active sports-wise. I surfed and did a lot of that stuff. And I suppose what happened for me was that I concentrated on fixing my mind more so than my body, and I neglected my body. And I didn't do the stuff I needed to do. So as time came on, you know, I started meditating. I didn't know how to do it, so I went to a few places to learn, you know, so I've done a few different things. And I found one I really like. So I do that one, and I constantly do that. I mean, like, 10 years or something, which has been really good. On a daily basis, I try to learn it. And then the physical stuff came in too, you know. So I started to inquire about different things and joined the gym, you know, try to physically do work that way, you know. And then I just got on to the five Tibetans, which was rather a nice, easy practice of a morning, which I've been sort of, I've done for a while, and now I just do some other stuff that every morning when I get up and I need to stretch, I just know that. So I don't really call it yoga. I just call it stretching, you know, so which is probably yoga.
Mindful movement.
So now, you know, like I need, you know, more and more the older I get. I'm 60 this year, so I need to move more and more because of my body starting to slow right up. So, and I just see the benefits of mindful movement. You know, like it's really important, you know, so important.
And the meditation, how you said that you were starting to fix your mind. So have you found that that's helping?
The meditation is fantastic, it was just this old saying that I got, you know, that to meditate is just to sit and wait for your soul to catch up. You know, so.
That's beautiful.
Which I just thought, you know, I need to, you know, because I'm always rushing, doing stuff and doing, but not observing, you know. So I just need to observe myself with inside, you know, and that's so important, you know, that I need to sit and just let the mind do what the mind does, and then get on with living, because the mind. Especially an addict's mind, you know, like it's tricky, it's very tricky.
It's cunning and powerful. It really is.
And that's why so many people relapse, because they don't address the seat of the mind, you know. So
it's quite scary. Like when we think about it, our minds can make us believe anything.
Yes. Yeah. If we tell ourselves enough, we'll believe it. Which is incredible.
So if someone was, from your experience, and you've seen a lot of people come into 12-step programs and recover and then also relapse, do you think that when someone is first detoxing, that a practice of yoga or meditation would be of help? Or do you think the meditation might be too deep? What are your thoughts?
I mean, there's all different sorts of meditation.
Absolutely.
And there's awareness of breath is the first thing anybody's got to do, I reckon, is because most of the time, you know, we come in full of anxiety, which is not breathing, you know, and other things, but mainly not breathing, you know. So to practice, to someone, I know early days I had to learn something, you know, and my sponsor, as they call them, sort of taught me different things, and part of it was breath, you know, and I don't think anything gentle would be fine, you know. You know, and the other thing too, people with detoxing, they've suppressed a lot of emotions and feelings. And I know that when you exercise, sometimes that withdraws all that stuff up to the surface, you know, which can be very devastating. And then people have reactions, and then they just want to run because they're having a feeling, you know. So, and that's part of the trickiness of the disease, you know.
And I guess that's why so many go from one addiction to the next to the next. It's like, I can't feel this, I'm going to grab this or this.
And, you know, food has been one of my big problems, you know. Sex is another one, you know, not one of my problems, but it's another problem.
I think there's over 200 different...
Fellowships. And the thing about it is the fellowship is the identification of that problem at the time, you know, that you're not on your own with that. Whatever it is, you know, especially, you know, to share your experience, strength, and hope with another addict is a good thing to know that other people think and act the same as you do. Mm.
It's known as the disease of isolation.
Yeah, addiction. We can be in a crowded room but be by ourselves. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know. So it's just that stuff that we need to change, you know. Recovery is all about change, you know. And, I can't say enough about meditation.
Yeah.
And yoga,
yeah. Beautiful. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for talking and sharing your wisdom, experience, strength and hope. It's been wonderful.
Okay, thank you.